Well, I don't know about you guys, but I sat around and I watched Friday night, and then I watched on Sunday night as the Toronto Maple Leafs picked up two victories over the weekend. And you look at the teams they faced. Obviously, you face the Edmonton Oilers. You know what you're getting there. We'll talk about Sunday, last night's game, the incident with Tkachuk at the end with Campbell. We'll talk all about how that's going to affect the teams going forward Tuesday night when they match up again. But you look at Friday's game, Jamie, and what do you say? I say Mitch Marner, thanks for coming out. Auston Matthews dealing with a hand injury that's going to take some time, he said, but it is feeling better, so it was not available to the Leafs. But they pulled on their work boots, they went to work, and they got the job done, and they stymied the high-flying Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Edmonton Oilers yet again. What did you see Friday night that impressed you?
Hey, let's talk about Brooks, man. Brooks got his first goal in the NHL, but unfortunately was scratched the game after. But, you know, the Leafs are finally coming together. There was some miscommunication over the weekend between Anderson and Morgan Riley there. And we've got the Oilers, again, two more times in the month of January. We've got the Flames Tuesday night. And I really think, you know, with the three-quarters of the top line missing, you have Joe Thornton, and when you had Matthews out, the Leafs really had to find ways to win. They had to bang and crash. We've got, you know, Hyman. We've got Kerfoot going. I believe Kerfoot's having a better year this year than he did last year. And I got to ask you, James, how come Soupy hasn't scored yet? Like, man, I believe he should have a 25-goal season. I know it's 56 games, but if it was a full season, we'd see a lot of goals from Soupy, but I'm surprised he hasn't scored yet. Everyone's going, and I know we're without Thornton and without Robertson, but from what I see in the last two games and without preseason, I think we're now really kind of seeing the true Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah, we're going to have defensive blunders. There's going to be plays where, you know, Anderson, Riley, whichever D is coming. That goal that Draisaitl scored Friday night, I believe Anderson should have shot the puck around, got it away from Draisaitl, Hart Trophy winner. You need to get the puck away from him a lot better than you did. And miscommunication, whatever you want to call it. But from the weekend, what I really took from that weekend's games, you know, we're starting to gel together. We're starting to get our mojo. Keith's going to put the lines in through a blunder, but really, man, I did some lineup mix matching today, and I like who we see. There's the bottom lines. There's four guys that are, or at least two guys, Brooks and Boyd. They're ready to take over if Bernoff doesn't do what he's capable of doing, and hey, it's a thing where, you know, you can't really listen to what you're seeing online. A lot of it's toxic, and when you rely on the most reliable sources, they're really not bashing this team, because I'm confident with the four lines, the 6D, and the two goaltenders, and I'll explain to my Warrior of the Week is, but man, we've seen a true warrior effort out of Campbell last night, and who knows what transpired through today on Monday with that Tkachuk incident, and the last 3 minutes there in that Flames game, Soup, I believe he was hurt, maybe the last 6 minutes. He was really fighting to stay in that game and didn't want to be taken out, because you got to think.
What does that say, though? You know what I mean? What does that say to the rest of the guys on the team, anybody who's nursing an injury or any problems? What does that say? That says, hey, I want to win. We want to win. We want to be here. I want to be in this crease and stop the puck. So we need guys like that. You need players like that. Like Zach Hyman's the same way. He'll play until he falls apart. You know, and you look at Campbell last night. Let's touch on that right now. That goddamn kneeing incident that was on the back of the head was a greasy chicken shit move by Tkachuk, and I'll say it just like that, because that's exactly what it was. And then he laid on top of him with his knees, grinding them in the back of his head until he was tackled off. So I absolutely hope on Tuesday night that he's ready to answer the bell, because Simmer already said that he's ready to go. Bogosian's ready to go. So someone's going to knock his block off, and it's going to bloody well happen. So you pissed off Leafs Nation. You had John Tavares, timid John, I wouldn't say timid, but quiet John Tavares in your face, ready to rip a strip off you. So you know you've done pissed people off when you do that. And then you look at Campbell, though, in the locker room. Terry Koshan said he felt great, said he felt fine. He's all right. He was a little shaken up, but that's about it. He feels great, and he feels fine.
And in the spotlight, Campbell did say, hey, or someone asked him about the incident, and Campbell came back and said, he's a good hockey player. He kind of shied away from his true feelings, because I know for me, like I've mentioned, you know, I was a goalie. I looked up to Ron Hextall. I met him millions of times. I met Felix Potts. Guys that were feisty, you know, Mike Burton got into fights. There's a special, the goaltenders are special breeds. And for Campbell to sit there and say he wasn't affected by the play, or he kept a lot of emotions in. He just basically sat there and said, oh, Kachuk's a great player.
Yep.
Right? There's a lot of turtles in this league, Marchand, Kachuk. I hope we don't see Kachuk being like a Sean Avery. It's not going to happen because Kachuk's got a lot of more upside. Really, very much more skillful than Avery. But, man, I didn't see much of it. It was at the last 6 minutes, I believe Toronto was up 3-2. Toronto's going to go through a lot more of those games. And it's tough. Like, it's stressful on Leaf fans sitting in a 3-2 game. They're Flames are pressing, but you got to look at Campbell. He plays two games in a month. He's sitting there. He's fighting, and he was hurt. He was struggling the last 6 minutes, and to sit there and say, yeah, whatever, it wasn't a hockey play. The bell's going to have to be answered, because it was answered on the weekend when Myers hit Hermia. Armia's out now with a concussion. Tyler Myers had to answer the bell versus Edmonton on the weekend. And if it doesn't get answered on Tuesday night, then it just shows, like, maybe how weak the Leafs are. But you've got Wayne Simmonds. He's going to do something. He's gonna be chirping to Kachuk. And who knows if he turtle, but, man, and Simmer is going to have to really just teach him a lesson, saying, hey, like, we're top 14. We're not taking bullshit. Yeah, Campbell may have just shrugged it off, but we've got a tough team, and Kachuk better answer the bell Tuesday and not duck like he did against Cassian in last year's playoffs. I'll be really pissed off if that happens, but that'll be a discussion for Friday. So.
No, we'll definitely see what happens for Friday and bring that in, but you look at the games, and these are the games the Maple Leafs have to win, tight games. You know, 4-2 over the Edmonton Oilers, 3-2 over the Calgary Flames. You got to win these games, and that's a testament. Remember how many times over the past few years we looked at a Toronto Maple Leaf team with a lead that was one goal, and, you know, you hold on to your seat, you bite your nails, you smash whatever you need to smash, and you pray to whoever you pray to and hope the Maple Leafs pull it off. But they've been able to do it so far this year with those slim margin leads and not blow them and not go into huge damage control modes, which is good. Those are strides from teams. And also, I want to give a shout out to Zach freaking Bogosian. You know, everybody's raining on this guy. I don't think he's looked that bad. First couple games, yeah, he had a couple gas. Same with Brody. But now Bogosian's out there blocking shots, throwing body checks, getting in the stick in the lane. And he's got wheels, too. Boy can move. So, you know, shout out to Zach Bogosian for, you know, being that league minimum contract, but still being able to make noise on the back end for the Maple Leafs. And you look at the players, you were talking about Brooksy, and you're talking about Babaranov and Boyd, and you look at these guys coming in the lineup. I think Pierre Engvall is going to be one to stay. I think Sheldon Keefe sent him down to light that fire under his ass and get him going, get him ready. You know, get him prepped to say, hey, boy, you know, you were here. You were doing everything you needed to do, and then you got that little bit of a contract, the carrot. You took a big bite of it, and now you're full. You got to get that hunger back, and I think getting sent down did that to him, because he looks like a different player from what, you know, he was on that scrimmage game. You know, the effort level's there. You can hear that from Keith and other people. But I look at this squad, and I say, you know what? They're coming together for one another. Now, the next rallying point has to be Tuesday night against the Calgary Flames. You all have to come together and fight a common evil, which is to Chuck, And there's a lot of Calgary Flames fans going, oh, it wasn't that bad. But there's a lot of Edmonton, Vancouver, and fans in the West that are saying, get ready for Tkachuk this season. We're going to end up hating him more than we hate Brad Marchand because he's a worse rat than Marchand is. And we saw what he can do on Sunday night against Campbell. And I think it's only going to escalate. And I mean, that's kind of his job. It's his job to score, to be an agitator, you know, a la Marchand, get the points, but also get under your skin and make you take dumb penalties, do dumb things. And, you know, the Maple Leafs need to play it smart. Hopefully Tkachuk answers the bell. He watches that video himself and says, you know, that was a shitty move by me and I shouldn't have done that. I do hope player safety looks at it because he definitely looks like he launches himself and then lands squarely with his knees on the back of the mask of Campbell. But I think Tuesday night you need a rallying cry from the Toronto Maple Leafs. Even though they won last night, they need to make sure that tomorrow night when they go out there on the ice that they stick up for their teammate, they stick up for one another, because it's not too long ago that you watched, I believe it was the Ottawa Senators or maybe the Anaheim Ducks, firing pucks at Dion Phaneuf. And nobody doing anything about it. Nobody answering the bell or answering the call to stick up for their captain. So this team seems to be coming together. Here's another chance for that to happen further. Do I want them to always be out there, you know, fighting and doing all that stuff? No, but to bring it together to show everybody you're in it, like Campbell did between the pipes. You know, he got hurt, got banged up, stayed between the pipes, you know, wanted to finish the game, gutted it out, you know, whatever he was feeling, whatever was hurt. Says he's fine now, but whatever it was, you know, he finished that off. And you need those things for a team. You know, we talk about at any level, you know, what the camaraderie is like. I mean, the momentum in the room that gives you when guys are bonding off one another and working together and sticking up for each other. And know that if somebody does something dumb to you, that someone's going to have your back. And that hasn't been with the Toronto Maple Leafs very often the past few years. But I think it's starting to come around. And it's the new guys that are leading that trend. But I'm damn excited, man. I'm damn excited to see what's going to happen. You look around the league and you look at the other divisions and things like that. I like the Canadian division the most. I honestly do. I mean, there's other great teams, other great players. But the Canadian division's got my attention. And you know what? I'll give you guys kudos. The Ottawa Senators are definitely at the bottom of the standings. You know, they were supposed to be, in my mind, better than they are. But they're down there, and the Montreal Canadiens are up top, so kind of sucks, topsy-turvy, but I think the Canadiens will cool off, and when they do, I think we'll see the real Montreal Canadiens. But after a long rant, Jamie, what do you think?
I couldn't agree more myself, and I was going to ask you this question, James. Have you ever watched the show The Price is Right? Have you ever seen them play the game Plinko?
Yep.
On The Price is Right? There's been a lot of goals in the last couple games. It reminds me of that game, Plinko. Like, yeah, McDavid scored that nice goal. He tipped it in, and Drysdale was scoring two goals. Like, but it seems like every goal that I've witnessed from the Toronto Maple Leafs has been a bang and crash goal, has been an office game, you know, and it's like that game on Price is Right, Plinko. Did Matthew score the goal? No, he didn't score the goal. This guy, like, you know, at the end, it's like, yeah, Muzzin takes a shot. And was it this guy's goal? You don't know, but like Keith just said, over the weekend, he goes, it's great to have a second string goalie play the way he did, but we can't get too complacent, and you can't give too much confidence, because when you give too much confidence, you're not going to stay tight. You're going to be a little bit loose. Like, when you get two solid goalies going, you might feel a bit loose. You might be like, well, it's okay to play crappy D because we got a solid goalie in Mets. Well, no. Right? And you'll see that throughout this year. And, you know, leading up to that Flames game, 7 games in 12 days, man, it's a 56-game season. It's ridden by COVID. There's going to be games that are postponed. The schedule is not going to be played out like it's on paper. I got to ask you too, James. Mitch Marner averaging 24 minutes per game last year when Babcock was in the mix. Now you have Sheldon Keith. I believe Marner's playing. He's at the top of the league in scoring. Kyle Connor. Mark Stone. it seems like he's been in the league for 400 years. Mark Stone, man, he's leading the league with Kyle Connor, Mitch Marner. You don't see McDavid up there. You don't see Matthews up there, Dreisaitl. Can you see maybe Mitch Marner kind of wearing out during the year playing 24 minutes? Because he's being played differently this year than he did last year at Babcock, 100%. But do you see Mitch Marner getting worn out?
No, I don't see Mitch Marner getting worn out. I mean, he's a young guy. He chugs Red Bull like it's hooked up to an IV and all that good stuff. But no, in all honesty, I don't see him wearing out. And you look at this condensed schedule. We talked about it. There will probably be times where practices are taken off or morning skates are off or whatever it is. These guys will get their rest. But, you know, if you need to, we talked about this last show, you can do a little in-game management. You know, you can rest a guy here and there. If you have a lead, you can start leaning on your third and fourth lines a little bit more and give guys, you know, a break. You know, but when you're in tight games, you want your best players on the ice. And, you know, they leaned on them a little bit more, too, with penalty kill and stuff like that. And I think these guys relish the opportunity to have more minutes and to play more. And I think what you're going to see throughout the season is that the bottom six ice time, once they get comfortable with who they're going to be using, will eke up a little bit. And we'll get more minutes underneath their belts as well. But I think right now, for the foreseeable future, you will see these guys up there. This is what they wanted. They wanted 24 minutes. They wanted, you know, the more time on the ice to do what they do and feel more comfortable with the puck and the flow. And like I said, there's plenty of different ways you can get guys rest, whether it's in-game, whether it's morning skates off, whether it's practices off, whatever it is. These guys will have their time to get their rest and be ready, but this season, everybody knows it's truncated, and yeah, guys will be tired here and there, but the rest will come, and we'll see what happens. I mean, you look at teams, and I think it was CJ who just put out, I think it's, what is it, who's left? There's four teams, basically, that have to play 50-something games in less than 100 days. Think about that for a second.
Carolina, Dallas, yeah, and they're all in the American side there. Yeah, Carolina.
But you think about that, right? How squished that is together because the games they missed.
They've got to make up seven games. Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, you think about that. You look at the way that is and how truncated that is. You know, where do you get rest there? So the Maple Leafs will have time as long as COVID stays away from the team, but we'll see what happens. But these guys are young players. They wanted this opportunity under Babcock, didn't get it. Now they have the opportunity not only to play with each other, but to play, and that sounded really freaking bad. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. But they have the opportunity to go on the ice and do it the magic that they do. And now they have the ice time. But I want to ask you something. What would you do when everything's back to normal? Would you put William Nylander up with Matthews and Thornton and give John Tavares, Zach Hyman, and Mitch Marner? I ask you that question because when they did it against Edmonton, the success was there. The chemistry between Marner and Tavares was there. I know it's there between Matthews and Marner as well. But why would you not want to have two premier weapons when you know what you can get out of Matthews and Nylander with Thornton? And then, of course, Hyman, Marner, and Tavares was a solid line. Even if you put Mikheyev there, they were good with Mikheyev too. You know, I think that's a better way to do it, balance it out the scoring a bit more. But what do you think, Jamie? Should they shake that up a little bit or what?
I agree, but as of right now, my projected lines for this week, they got the Flames, and then they have to play the Oilers two more times before ending January. As the lines were on Sunday, you had BC, Matthews, Marner. Yeah, I put Nylander, right now, while Thornton's out, do what you can, mix and match, because Thornton's out right now for a month. So you got an opportunity for the next month. Yeah, put Nylander up with Matthews, Marner. Put Soupy up with Tavares, Hyman. Look at BC right now. You know, people doubted him coming from Buffalo, but he's his new nickname right now is Beast Lightning. Beast, you know how that song goes. So he's right up at the top now with Matthews and Marner. See, you can really you can fluctuate Soupy, Nylander, and BC on the top left wing. Yeah, you still have Babarinoff, Eager, and Spezza down and Simmer. You know, Simmer moves up and down. He's on the power. So you've got a lot of options. Look back in the day, in 93-94, you had now Borshevsky, a little bit lighter, different NHL compared to now. Supi's got more upside, got a little more sides to him. He can handle the top line minutes. Yeah, so put Supi up to the top. Put him on the left side with Matthews Marner. Put Nylander up there. And once Thornton comes back, maybe have him on the, I don't know, like it's going to be a blunder for the next month or so while Thornton's out, but I actually have those line combinations written down, and it makes sense. BC, Nylander, Supi, mixed match, but keep Matthews, Tavares, Kerfoot up the middle, Marner, Hyman, Zimmer on the right side, and that fourth line. And I'm going to ask you, like, how does it make sense that Spets is on the right wing and you got Eager down the middle and Barabanov on the left wing? Like, and maybe a discussion for another day, but regards to your question, I agree 100%. BC, Nylander, Supi, mix those guys up, put them in a blunt and a Hamilton Beach blunder and mix them all up, because in a month you've got Thornton coming back, which may complicate things a little bit. So, you know, take advantage while Thornton's out and Robertson's out too. So,
yeah, like I said in the prediction season videos, you know, whether it be the new offside talk on TikTok there, guys, make sure you follow along, check it out. Shout out to everybody who's already done so. And then, of course, on Twitter, hashtag prediction season every single game. I said, you know, these guys need to take this opportunity where guys are hurt and not in the lineup and step up and make a name for themselves. And Brooksy did it. Babaranov is in there because he's got a little bit more defensive prowess, a little bit more eager to throw his body in front of the puck, you know, blocking lanes and things like that. But, yeah, I look at this team and I think about a lot of things. And then I see what you said on the weekend about Sheldon Keefe and Austin Matthews. I don't think that was Austin Matthews so much calling out the coach for wanting to hone in on two players. I think it was more or less the fact that he was just frustrated that was the only thing that they could do, the entire team, is they wanted to make sure those two players didn't score, and they got away from what it was for themselves. I don't think it's Keefe and Matthews battling. I think they like each other pretty much, and I think it's going to be a great thing throughout the season. I don't think there's any ill will. I reached out and asked a couple people that cover the team, and they say absolutely not. Well, Sheldon Keefe is a no BS kind of guy. He definitely protects his players, likes his players, and wants to hear what they have to say about game planning and things like that. So it's a pretty cohesive unit. So I think that needs to get swept under the rug. There's nothing there within that. And I mean, I tried to read into it on Sunday before I learned about his hand injury. And I was thinking, man, is Jamie right? You know, did he just get benched for a game because he called out the coach? And then I started firing off emails and asking people, and I got a whole bunch back, you know, saying to check what we're drinking in the water out here out east, because they haven't seen players and coaches on the same page as well as they have so far in Toronto. So we'll leave that for what it is. But I tried to read into it, and I got a little bit bashed for it. So I'm happy I did, because I didn't want there to be anything building there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I want to give a huge shout out. I discovered over the weekend, I want to give a huge shout out to Dave Poole in front of the show. He's on TSN. He's actually, I didn't know this, he's actually part of the Star in Toronto, and he had a very good write-up on Sunday morning. I'm going to continue reading it, and I'll share my thoughts later. But I wanted to, two more questions here. This week, we won't speak again until Friday. Do you see... You just mentioned you like Eglin on the fourth line. Can you see Brooksy being inserted into the line? I was kind of right last show on Friday. We did see Brooksy over the weekend or on Friday night. But can you see Brooksy going in the fourth line, especially going back to the center position, and maybe Bogo gets a rest this week and we see Lettinen back? And here's a question for down the road. When do we see... Rasmus Sandin inserted in the Toronto Maple Leafs lineup. So I'm still waiting for that day, but I strongly believe during this week, before we talk Friday, we see Brooksy back in the lineup against either the Flames or the Oilers, and then maybe Lettinen takes over for Bogo. And one stat that stuck out with me over the last week, Toronto's defense has 50-odd shots. And so far in this season, like that's a remarkable stat. Like the defensemen, they're taking shots, and they got 50 odd shots. And Muzzin had that goal there on the weekend. So that's one stat that stuck out the most this week. You know, the defensemen are shooting the puck, right? So, good to see.
Yeah, you know, the old adage is you ride with your hot hand and you see what there is going on that way. You're going to keep Bogo in there until you're forced to take him out. There seems to be a pecking order. Rasmus Sandin's below Lehtinen right now. So barring injuries, I don't know if you'll see any of those guys. Maybe you switch out Dermott for a Sandin if you're feeling it. But if the team is rolling and they're getting wins, usually coaches are creatures of habit. They don't want to mix with things. You know that. They like to keep things as linear as possible. So I see things staying the way they are. And just because I know everybody's going to creep on this one in the comments and send me DMs, it's Engvall, not Eager, and not Enger, or whatever you're calling him.
I got him down as Eager for his nickname. I don't know if that sticks or if that's inappropriate. Then hey, I can easily say Engvall 100%.
But just because there's a Ben Eager as well, right? So people would have thought you, Leafs got a new player we didn't have. But you look at Engvall and what he can bring. I think this is what they want him to be. That fourth line center, maybe third line center, but we'll see. You're right, Spezza can play there. Spezza's been good in the dot, but we'll see what happens this week. It's going to be fun to see the Tuesday night game with a little bit of bad blood. It's going to be fun to face the Oilers again back-to-back because, you know, there's going to be a little bit of familiarity, a little bit of bad blood there too. So it's going to be something to see. So the Toronto Maple Leafs have these games, need to pick up some more points, make up some ground on the Montreal Canadiens. I know we're tied for points, but you definitely want to leapfrog them and be first in the division. So we'll swing into it, guys. It's Monday. You know what Monday means. Monday means there's three stars. And, of course, we have our Warriors of the Week. I'll chip in with my three stars first, and then, Jamie, you can go first with your Warriors. For me, three stars this week. Simply, Jack Campbell gets my third star. Comes into that game. Haven't played very much. Absolutely a warrior. Rebound control was on point. The guy obviously battled through something in the third period. Was not looking so hot. So third star goes to him. Second star goes to John Tavares. You know, he's our captain, our leader. He's putting up points. He's doing everything he needs to do on the ice. And from all accounts, leading everything in the locker room as well. My first star this week goes to one guy that I think everybody wants it to be. And it's going to be Joe Thornton, just for being so positive around the team. A ray of sunshine, a ray of light. I know he's been injured, hasn't played the past few games, and obviously won't be back for about a month, but just what he brings around the team. The guys are still talking about the fact he's in the locker room. He's talking. He's noticing things. He's picking up on things. And he's trying to keep the mood light and fresh and ready to go. So tip of the cap to first star for me is Joe Thornton.
Impressive list, my friend. I'm going to go with, I believe that this is okay to say, for the third star, I'm going to have a co-star. So it's like kind of like three and a half stars. I gotta go with Brooksy, first goal of the year for the Leafs, and also Simmer, first goal of the year for the Leafs. So I kind of have a coast third star, but gotta go with Jack Campbell, number two, man. What a performance the last 6 minutes of that Flames game. He just true battler and didn't want to come out, and Anderson was looking at him and saying, hey man, you want to come out? Like, nope, I he's. And you gotta go with Mitch Marner, averaging 24 minutes per game and playing at the highest level possible and in the top five in NHL scoring. So got to go with Mitch Marner, and four of the weeks got to go with Campbell, man. I love my goaltenders, and I'm going to go with Campbell as my Warrior of the Week, man. And he's sitting on the pine, and he comes in and it's a 3-2 game, last 6 minutes, and he stood on his head, and he also got kneed in the head. So that's a conversation for another day. But you got to go with the soup can, man. I imagine there's a lot of dents in that soup can right now. So, but hey, what a warrior! And looking forward to a Kachuk Simmer tilt on Tuesday night.
No, definitely. Well, my Warrior of the Week goes to the man you just mentioned, Wayne Simmonds. Obviously already verbally sticking up for his goaltender, but we'll see what happens if he does drop the mitts on Tuesday night and physically stick up for him, but also getting his first goal. I lived in Scarborough and born in Ontario myself, so Scarborough, stand up. Wayne Simmonds potting his first goal last night. Obviously wicked. The guy's out there. He's checking. He's putting the pressure in front of the net. He's taking all kinds of bumps and lumps and bruises, but he finally pots his first goal. So my warrior of the week goes to the Wayne Simmons, the Wayne train. Excited to have him part of Leafs Nation. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Monday edition of Offside Hockey Talk. Your Toronto Maple Leafs talk is done for today because this is Offside Hockey Talk, where hockey comes to talk.